It's Thursday, September 7th, and week one of the 2017 NFL season is finally upon us. The Packers welcome the Seattle Seahawks to Lambeau Field on Sunday. Do the Packers have what it takes to go all the way this year? Also, the Brewers have taken the wind again out of everyone's sails. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 252.
It's on the ones and twos.
Charlie, with you.
What's happening? We're back. NFL football season here tonight.
Yeah.
We're gonna preview that. Preview week one of the Packers. Talk a little bit of Brewers. And that's probably gonna be about it.
Look, we'll talk about the whole NFL.
Oh yeah, that's what I said. NFL, Packers, Seahawks. And talk a little Brewers. You missed that first part.
I just walked in. Sorry.
There you go. Yep, exactly. Best producer in game for nothing, folks. Mitch, how we living?
Pretty good.
Bad boy. You know, as am I.
Seasons are changing, so.
I hear ya. I was like, does it make me a pinhead that, like, I was running outside in long sleeves today. Around today, we're taping this Wednesday. No,
why?
Night.
Why would that make you a pinhead?
No. Here's the pinhead part. That doesn't make me a pinhead. The part of that when it gets colder, I get more excited about football. Like as it gets colder,
yeah.
I start getting a little more dialed up for football. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, and I feel like you know it's a little cooler than it almost should be. So yeah.
And a lot of that, not to get all climate on your ass, but a lot of that's probably due to the hurricane and
yeah.
Thoughts go out to our boy Manuel Murphy, who might be staring down Irma. May he stay safe. And hopefully that
I had a small FaceTime session with him during one of my drafts the other night. So, and talking to him briefly, it made me feel a little better.
Yeah.
About a situation that, I mean, obviously he's a fairly smart gentleman, so he right. should be able to, you know, stay out of the, the worst parts of it. So.
Yep.
For as long as he can, so
for sure.
There's a couple plans in place for him, I think, and
that's good.
He should be
good to hear.
He'll be okay,
absolutely. But yeah, everyone else, you know, if you're down in Florida, I'm sure you know Florida's one of those places where you kind of know somebody. Whether
and I think too is like maybe a hurricane up here. We don't know anything about it,
right?
So you know, those people down there have been through it probably, I think their infrastructure's, you know, after things get destroyed once or twice throughout, you know, time.
Right. They learn.
You learn and you make things better and.
It's almost routine, even though this will be a very strong storm coming in. So we should see Irma this weekend, and hopefully it doesn't do as much damage as they're predicting it to do.
Yeah, hopefully it's weakens a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Or misses mainland altogether.
Yeah, that would be the best of all worlds. So now moving forward, talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Brewers before we go into the NFL, just to kind of get it out of the way, because once again, we enter the podcast studio dejected, somber.
Every 2 weeks or so, every maybe 3 weeks, it's just...
You know, about a month ago, Mitch claimed the sky was falling, kind of said they're done, and then they ended up winning a bunch of games and kind of getting their shit together.
Yeah, well, especially when they went down like 10-0 to the Reds that night.
Right.
It was kind of like, yeah, I'm done. Yeah. They came back in that game, didn't win it, but came back
right.
admirably.
Yes.
And have, you know, pretty much played well since that series. Good enough. And obviously, you know, winning a series in the Dodgers. You can look at it that way where, okay, you won the series against the Dodgers, shouldn't have happened.
Right.
You won the series against the Nationals, probably shouldn't have happened. And yes, you get swept by the Reds, but if you look at it in that sense,
almost like water finds its level.
Correct. You know, you look at it in that sense. Okay, they're like 5-5 in the last 10 games, and that's about you probably would have taken that.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Or you could look at it the other way, which I said to you on the way here in our pre-production meeting. You know, they struggled against the Giants. They struggled against the Reds the last two series. They faced them. So they're not doing well against bad teams, and that's kind of been the story all year.
Well, yeah, and you wonder if it's a sort of an up and a down thing about knowing you have to be at your best against the Nationals all weekend, knowing you had to be your best against the Cardinals and the Dodgers beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of just take it easy a little bit. I mean,
yeah, I just you almost want to ask someone like,
right?
is this what this team, you know,
well,
do you guys take the foot off the gas a little bit against these bad teams?
Well, you wonder,
just thinking that it's going to happen.
You wonder if it has to play into the fact that they're a very emotional team. And so they get very dialed up and very spirited, and they, so when they're not playing against a good team, it's not that same, like, never say die attitude.
There isn't as much adrenaline and
right.
There isn't much urgency.
And this whole thing could have been moot if they win, come back and win on Monday. Who knows what the rest of the weekend holds for them?
Yeah,
because they, you know, get down four nothing. They get down 4-0. They come back to get it to fours, and then for some reason, Craig Counsell decides to pitch Josh Hader again, and Hader did not, you know. There was some debate, was it a good fastball, wasn't a good fastball. The fact of the matter is Billy Hamilton, who hasn't hit a homer all year as a righty, turned around on one and hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. You get beat by Adam Duvall as a lefty who's a lefty killer, fine.
Yeah, he's a power hitter.
Even if Joey Votto beats you lefty-lefty, okay.
Joey Votto just tries to walk. That's what he does.
Right, right. Exactly.
He's like Adam Dunn.
And let us hope that at the, you know, Brewers probably will need the series against the Reds at the end of the year. But if they don't for some reason, let's just put one in Scooter's ear hole just for good old sake. Because God, is he a fuckboy. He
kind of was when he played here.
Right, he was. And that's why I didn't really like him in the first place. And look, and I wrote about it yesterday, SnowTapWI, it's a website.
He doesn't have any, like, when he was here, I don't remember, you know, maybe because he played for the Brewers. I don't remember any specific, you know, egregious acts or anything on his behalf. But the way he carried himself, he just kind of were like, dude.
He thought it was way better than it was. And now he's having this one good year, and I can't wait for
playing in a little league park.
I can't wait for the PED tests to come out or something along those lines. But in all seriousness, the Brewers made the right decision to not keep him. And anyone who thinks that they should have is an idiot, simply put. Because Jonathan VR had a career year, and no one would have said in March that you should get rid of VR and keep Scooter Gennett.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, it was probably because you were a racist and just wanted the white guy to play. That's really it. That's it. That's totally the only reason, because it doesn't make any sense. So it's fine. And now
I don't know what else I can say.
And now the Brewers get the Cubs on the weekend. Cubs still have two games. It's 0-0 right now in the sixth against the Pirates. And then they also have another night game against the Pirates on Thursday. So a lot could happen.
The infamous night game against the Pirates.
Exactly.
That caused the Brewers and Cubs on Friday, if you haven't heard yet, to move back from a 1:20 start to a 7:05 start in Wrigleyville.
I'll be honest, that kind of screwed up my plans, because I was going to work from home in the afternoon and just watch the game and work and do some stuff. And it was like, okay, I'll just leave at 2. It's like, perfect. And then it's like, night game. I'm like, well, can't do that.
Yep.
So
yeah, I think that screwed a lot of people.
And, you know, I think
there were probably certain broadcasters around Milwaukee that probably would have enjoyed a Friday night off.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And like, I'll save the takes, because the takes have kind of runneth dry at this point.
It's old. Old news.
But I will say that don't be surprised if there is some, I don't know, I won't say like people will be hitting each other, but if there are reasons for people to be mad at each other, you know, pimping home runs and things like that, it'll be there.
Yeah.
And if the Cubs could come in pretty shorthanded if Javi Baez can't play. I don't think he's played all week. And obviously Jake Arrieta looks like he's going to miss his start on Saturday. So the Cubs will kind of be playing a little shorthanded. So that could be the Brewers' advantage.
And their pitching has been kind of their problem this year.
Right.
So that depth is going to get tested. And I'm going to the game on Sunday. I did throw a Twitter poll out there asking if I should go still.
Yeah,
you should given go. That they just got swept by the Rebs. Oh,
go.
Of course I'm going. It's tongue-in-cheek, that poll.
Right.
But more people said yes. So
absolutely.
And I've never been there, so that'll be good.
The bitch of the beast would be is if the Brewers are still 3.5 back or 4 back when they go there and they sweep. And it's like, God, if you just would have beat the Reds a couple times, you'd have the division lead right there.
Conversely, you can go to Chicago and lose the series, and pending what the Cubs do Wednesday and Thursday night, you know, and then you lose 2 out of 3 in Chicago, you could be like 6 games out. And
you could, but that's
the death now.
Maybe, but I mean, remember, if you kind of do the way back machine, 2008,
done that a lot this year.
2008 against the Philadelphia Phillies, the Brewers either got swept or lost 3 of 4, and that's when Ned Yost got fired. Remember, Ned Yost gets fired after this. I think they actually got swept.
What are you suggesting?
I'm not suggesting Craig Counsell should be fired, but it's still a long month. A lot can happen. A month ago today, we were talking about the Brewers losing 6 straight games and probably being done with a West Coast trip looming.
Yep.
There is a lot of time. Even if they do fall 2 out of 3 of the Cubs, there's still a chance. And the Rockies are still just hovering around, and they have to play, I believe, the Diamondbacks again this weekend. And the Diamondbacks look like the hottest team in baseball. To me, right now, the Diamondbacks look like the best team in baseball, more so than the Dodgers.
Yeah, I would say right now,
And you look at that team and you're
Cleveland.
Cleveland looks good too. I mean, a Cleveland-Arizona series would be just terrible for Major League Baseball with all these with all these blue bloods, but I'd love it. I mean, that would be a pretty damn good series.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams look the best. I mean, the Astros have kind of been up and down.
Yeah, they're getting a couple of guys back, picking it up a little bit. The Verlander addition was huge for them. I mean, that's a really big addition.
True.
With Verlander and Keuchel, and that's pretty.
And McCullers got activated, I believe, today.
He pitches tonight as we're taping, so we'll see if he gets his shit together. But, I mean, there's a lot of fun there. I do think I don't think it's as easy as 1-2-3 for the Dodgers. They're going to be challenged.
No, I mean, it's crazy because the Brewers were the team that came in and kind of, knocked them off a bit, so to speak.
Right, and I think the Brewers probably provided some tape for some teams about how do you do it? How do you hit against this team? And other teams are taking advantage of it. And so,
which is funny because the Brewers' offense has been trash.
Right.
Overall, for the whole second half, I think they're dead last in like run scored or something.
Right, and I guess the last question is when do you have to kind of start wondering about Darnell Coles? I know that there's a lot of love for Darnell Coles in that locker room.
I think he's good for the rest of the year.
Rest of the year for sure, but next year, are you really certain that he's made the secondary adjustments? It seems like he's a guy who makes 1 or 2 adjustments and then. The next step, when pitchers start figuring these guys out, that doesn't happen.
Who's the longest tenured hitting coach in baseball?
I have no idea.
That'd be a good research.
They kind of go in and out.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's like Eric Thames never got better after May. Eric Thames is like basically a role player at this point. He's a guy that comes off the bench. They're using Neil Walker at first base.
Yeah, I mean, Thames, he had a hell of a leash.
Right. And now it's finally out. Broxton, Cole's figured out some stuff with Broxton, but he hasn't been able to figure out why Broxton keeps chasing high fastballs.
Yeah.
And no matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And VR the same way. It's like, why haven't we been, VR looked like he was going to turn a corner and then he kind of didn't.
Yeah.
So it's like.
How it's been all year for him.
Yeah, I know, but it's.
He's been good for the most part the last month.
Oh, no, I agree.
Like not, I mean, relatively good.
Right. So.
Better than awful.
Okay, so you get Jimmy, you get Chase, and you get Zach Davies for the three games in Chicago. So how many do the Brewers?
Well, you really can't ask for a better setup there.
Absolutely not.
So
what do you think the Brewers do that weekend?
I think they get one.
All right. I think they're gonna win 2 out of 3. I think I wouldn't be surprised they lose Friday and then win Saturday and Sunday.
They do that a lot where they lose the first game.
Yep. So I could see that.
I actually looked at that the other day.
Real possibility.
Wasn't as much as I thought, obviously.
Never
as. That stat. But it seems like they lose the first game and then win the last two.
I hear you. So I see that happening. I could also see, even though I just said that, I could see that Friday game being one where they just explode and put like 12 runs on it just because of just kind of send a message.
The Brewers?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Maybe. We'll see.
Plus the weather's going to be a little different.
September. And that's a great point. I mean, if the wind.
That's what's kind of fun about those Cubs playoff games is that like just the weather is such a factor that, a pop-up can be an adventure.
If the wind is blowing in, I think it actually favors the Brewers more than it does the Cubs because of just how good the pitching has been for the Brewers. I think that does favor the Brewers more than the Cubs.
Yeah, I can't believe we're sitting here talking about how good the Brewers pitching is, and the offense has been just terrible.
Top 10 in the league.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But anyways, it is a football weekend. It's the first weekend in the NFL season. The Green Bay Packers open up with a slobber knocker. Obviously, it may be the best game of the weekend. Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers facing off once again. It's kind of become the Cowboys of the 90s.
Have they played? It's been every year or 3 out of 4 for sure.
I think it's 3 out of 4. And then they go to Seattle next year, actually. It's already set, you know, the whole NFC, you know, which teams you already play. And so they'll be in Seattle next year for their NFC West visit. So that'll be a big game again. And we always see it. And it's come. So there's a lot of things going in. I mean, last year we did a whole podcast when that game was going. Was it really a rivalry? And we kind of said, I believe, yes, it was. We talked in depth about how this is a rivalry. These two teams really don't like each other. They've said it as much. You know, Devontae Adams had a lot of comments last year for Richard Sherman. I'm sure those won't be forgotten. You have the Bennett brothers going up against each other, obviously. Some issues bigger than football going on with Michael Bennett, with the situation in Las Vegas. They talked about on Wednesday. I don't know if you saw that, Mitch.
I did.
Yeah, kind of just absolutely crazy.
I didn't watch the video, but
I didn't see. I haven't. I was too busy.
Sounds like it was pretty legit.
Yep.
So
it's fucking ridiculous. So yeah, there's that, and you have a lot of storylines, and I don't know where. What to you is the biggest storyline coming in? What do you think is the one thing that is going to either play a factor or that you're curious about?
Probably Packers defense. Yeah. I mean, more than anything.
Right.
I mean, the Seahawks offense is good. I mean, it's Russell Wilson's become one of the better passing quarterbacks in the NFL, probably definitely top 10, for sure fantasy-wise, too. You know, so I think the Packers, you know, there's question marks all over the defense as usual, mostly in the linebacking position. And I think you brought it up last week with Clay Matthews not wanting to play in the middle so much, where I think that would probably help the team the most.
Yep.
You got Ahmad Brooks coming in. See if he can find the fountain of youth as well. And it's not like they're counting on him either.
No.
So that'll help him too. So I just think, you know, and then Seattle's run game, you got Eddie Lacy.
Yeah,
for Seattle now.
Lacy's preseason has not yielded good results.
But it'll be weird to see him.
Oh, I agree. It'll be weird to see Lacy in another uniform. Thomas Rawls is questionable with an ankle injury. He might not play. There's a lot of hype around Chris Carson, a rookie running back out of Oklahoma State. But you bring up a great point. Seattle's offense is getting a lot of hype. There's a lot of Russell Wilson for MVP buzz going on, which I don't think's not outrageous. And, you know, Doug Baldwin's a factor. Paul Richardson's a good player. I mean, they have guys, and they're going to test the Packers. And Jimmy Graham has had some big games against the Packers in the past as well. So you'll see a lot of that new look Dom Capers offense in the defense and to see if that's going to affect Russell Wilson. I feel like they're modeling their defense a lot after Arizona. So it'll be very interesting to see if some of the things that Arizona has done successfully against Seattle – is going to be applied in this game from the Packer side of things.
So you'll probably see a lot of Morgan Burnett up in the box.
Exactly right. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think you're going to see a lot of Josh Jones. I think the Packers are going to blitz pretty frequently because of just how bad Seattle's offensive line is, and trust that Wilson's legs aren't what they used to be. I mean, yeah, could Russell Wilson rush for 50 yards? Yeah. Is he Kaepernick? No. So I think that you have to you're going to see a lot of that because that offensive line, there's still questions there. And a bad offensive line, even if it ends up being like mediocre and kind of average, sometimes really looks shitty the first few weeks of the season. And then it kind of gets to like, okay, they're decent, not great, but they're not going to be this absolute train wreck all year.
Yeah, I think there definitely is a learning curve, if you will, with an offensive line as a whole.
Right.
So I think that's definitely a fair point, and I think the Packers can probably take advantage of that.
Right, and I'll be very curious to see how they handle the defensive line of Seattle. Pete Carroll says it's his best one he's ever had with the addition of Sheldon Richardson. I don't know if you'll see a lot of Aaron Rodgers with seven-step dropbacks. I mean, here's the thing.
Do you really ever?
Not really. No. I mean, 5 and 7, but I think he's going to be a lot quicker. I think the Packers are going to try to run the ball as much as they can. I don't know if it's going to be successful. Seattle's pretty good against the run. But that secondary last year was not the Legion of Boom by any shape of the imagination. I think it would be a hilarious troll. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if they just go for a home run shot with Devontae Adams out the gate like they did last year.
Yeah, I was say that happened last year, didn't it?
That was legit the play last year. And I don't know, maybe they do it with Jordy, maybe they do it with Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb has been a huge factor in Seattle games. And I know he's caught a ton of heat from Packer fans about being overrated, you know, whatever, cost Packers too much money.
Getting paid $11 million or whatever.
Right.
Cobb's, not being, you know, all pro.
Cobb's had some really nice games against Seattle, and I don't know if that's going to change. I think he's a man on a mission, so we'll see. And we'll see what kind of offense this team runs.
I don't think Seattle's defense is what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, they were obviously unstoppable 2-3 years ago.
Right.
But now, you know, they've lost a couple of guys. A couple of guys have gotten older. I think that, you know, it's to their disadvantage for sure. And Aaron Rodgers obviously keeps getting better.
Right, and we'll see what kind of offense, you know, the Packers really run. Are they going to run a lot of two tight ends? Are you going to see a lot of two running backs? I think the usage rates of everybody is going to be fascinating. I think that'll be a fascinating thing. I'm sure it'll be a topic for radio shows on Monday, win or lose, and just sort of see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of playing times, you know, how often are, you know, Brooks, Ahmad Brooks, Quentin Dial, who just got added the other day, Chris Odom.
From San Francisco, so he'll have some input.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. And I don't think it's...
From the NFC West.
I don't think it's because of that. I mean, no. I think these are kind of good players. And, you know, I don't know if I want to start with the Ted Thompson or the San Francisco part. Let's just start with San Francisco part since we're talking about it. People have to understand that just because a guy played on a bad team doesn't exactly mean he's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think there is that pinhead belief that these guys aren't that good because they played for a really shitty team for a couple years.
Well, it's kind of in the same vein of the Packer way, right? You bring a guy over and they're automatically going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
so if they play for a bad team, they must suck.
To me, it's like they've done more than what the Steelers did adding Joe Hayden, who's been absolutely awful for the last 2 years. People were like, how did the Browns get rid of Joe Hayden? Like, he was an all-pro guy. He's been terrible. If you read anything from Cleveland News, he's been just an awful corner for the last 2 years. And if Cleveland could have traded him, I think they would have. I don't think anyone wanted him because everyone knows that he's been really bad.
And he's washed.
Yeah, he's definitely washed. He could, but like, you know, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, you can just kind of find sometimes the right kind of defense that fits your mold. And Mike Tomlin, obviously, a defensive backs guy. So
yeah.
So back to Packers though. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of like, whoa, Ted Thompson. Like, it's almost like the Vince McMahon gif, you know, when he's like stunned that Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out.
Yep.
That's a lot of Ted Thompson critics right now because he's basically putting the middle fingers up to all of them and saying, fuck you. And saying, this is exactly what you wanted. I'm giving it to you. I'm not doing it because of you. I'm doing it because I believe I have a Super Bowl team and I am adding to that defense to make sure that we have enough pieces and enough bodies. So when the season is long, we have guys for every situation.
Yeah, and you saw a lot of injuries last year as well, where that depth was really tested in the postseason and all that. So I think that's fresh in his mind as well. And I'll ask you then, do you think he listened to Aaron Rodgers at, you know, the exit meetings last year, the exit you know, availability? Him, I believe he and Mike McCarthy made comments sort of saying, I'm not sure we're all in.
Yeah.
We need to be all in.
So I think he probably evaluated it and said to other guys like Elliot Wolf, like Gunkhurst, like at Russ Ball, and said to these guys, okay, Aaron and Mike have provided me with this feedback. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Where do you land on the spectrum of it? And I think a lot of them said, you know what? I get where they're coming from. I get where they're coming from. And my theory behind what Thompson did, and not that this was fair to Aaron or Mike, but that basically he kind of thought that these teams weren't that good and that he thought some of these draft picks didn't pan out how he wanted to pan them out. And so he knew he was kind of setting this team up to be maybe an NFC North winner, but not a Super Bowl winner. And there wasn't a lot he could do to fix it. And he knew it. But then, okay, all these guys come off the books. TJ Lang, Dayton Jones. There's a couple others that I'm missing. That I'm going to miss off the top of my head. I mean,
Sam Shields is gone.
Sam Shields. Josh Sitt,
he was kind of a big,
Josh
big money
the,
guy
the year before. So all these guys come off the books, and Thompson now looks and says, I have all this money. I'm going to reinvest it with a Martellus Bennett, a Lance Kendricks. I'm going to add an Ahmad Brooks. I'm going to look at this undrafted rookie who had this great preseason for the Falcons, and he gives us more size and speed. The Packers have some guys who are absolute freaks now. Like, Dial's a monster. He is 6'6", 317, and has, like, 34-inch arms. Yeah, like, wow. He's a monster. He is a big dude. Odom is 265 pounds. Brooks is an absolute bruiser. There's a lot of badasses on that team. Mike Daniels, who is always saying, we need more guys just playing pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happens. I do expect a little bit more swagger from that Packer defense, and I think it'll be directly related to everything we've talked about. And maybe it ignites Clay Matthews. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know why people give such a fuck about Clay Matthews. He really doesn't matter. I understand he makes a lot of money, but he doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, he does, but it's just like, yeah, he's not, he's just, I don't know.
I think the Packers can win with him being average.
Yeah, people.
I really do.
I think people expect the world of him.
Right, and I think people want to, like, think that he's going to be this great player, but I don't know.
Hey, so, this is his eighth year.
I know.
So, you know, in the shelf life of NFL players, I harp on it all the time. It can go quick.
So, we'll see what happens. I have the Packers winning this game about 28-17. I think they actually win this game pretty handily. I think Wilson's struggles at Lambeau continue. I think Dom Capers kind of knows a quarterback, it's rare that quarterback figures it out against him. We've seen it with Matty Stafford. We've seen it with a couple other guys. I think the same fate is going to be for Russell Wilson. I think Packers win this game pretty handily. And they do need one of these games. They have a tough start with them in Atlanta, Seattle, Atlanta. So, going 1-1 in the first 2 weeks isn't going to be a bad thing.
Give me the Packers. I like the Packers at home here. 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field. 20-13.
Okay. Very low
I
scoring.
Think you get a little bit of for week one jitters with the Packers offense.
Yep.
We've seen it the last 2 years before this. I think it's only natural, and it's okay. And I do like the Packers defense a little bit more. You talked me into it with a couple of these guys that they've just brought on. And maybe there's a learning curve there, too. But, I think you've kind of brought me onto the Packers defense a little bit, being better than advertised, possibly.
I just think they're going to play with this kind of attitude where they might get a flag for a high hit, but everyone's going to be fired up.
I feel like you'd be all right with that, like, early in the game.
Oh, absolutely. Just setting the tone and just laying Doug Baldwin's cocky ass out. Absolutely.
Just get Josh Jones.
Yes, absolutely.
Knocking somebody's helmet off.
Yeah, Josh Jones. What was the line from John Chaney? One of your goons.
Yeah,
went to Calipari.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yep. So, anyways, that's Packers. A lot of other NFL. I guess.
Told my kid to knock your kid in the fucking mouth. You got a good team. You don't need that
you
edge.
You got a good team. A great team.
And I just got my ass blasted for giving them hell down in West Virginia. And Kyle Perry's face the whole time is pretty good. Some things never cease to amaze me.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. John Calipari, John Chaney, a classic.
Where John Chaney storms into a John Calipari postgame presser.
John Chaney, yeah. Talk about a guy just coming in guns blazing, man. Oh, yeah. I love it. So, as for a NFL preview, I think obviously starting the NFC North is the good place to start. And I tend to think the NFC North is going to kind of not be that very, very good this year. I have a lot of questions.
What else is new?
I know, right? But I have a lot of questions about each team. We can start with Minnesota. Where's their offense? I mean, I know it's just preseason, but their offense showed absolutely nothing. Sam Bradford did not look good. Pat Shurmur, I don't know if he's really a good offensive coordinator. Dalvin Cook's going to take some time. I'm not buying any sort of Minnesota stock.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I never really ended up taking Stephon Diggs. He's been a good fantasy receiver the last year or two. I don't know if he's third year now.
Yeah, I think it's third year.
So, Sam Bradford, I just don't know if he can be trusted at this point.
Right.
As much as I want it to happen.
Sammy Slaves. Actually, I'm starting Sam Bradford in a fantasy league because Jameis is hurt. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
So well, no, Jameis is hurt.
They're actually not playing that game.
They're not playing that game.
Which is bananas. That's Doc Rivers' gif.
Yes, absolutely. That's that is definitely
I know it's not really according to the blueprint here, but it's just kind of insane that you just play the game in Philly or something.
Yeah, Roger Goodell has done nothing but show his ass for these last couple of weeks with how they handled the Zeke Elliott
stuff. So now those two teams essentially don't have a bye this year.
They play 16 straight games. That's unbelievable. That's completely bananas.
How can the players be okay with that? I mean, I don't know, maybe they don't have a choice.
I would love it if both teams decide to take a loss, but you know that just won't happen because they're both going to probably need playoff spot, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyways, in the North, I really hate everything about the Detroit Lions this year. They have such a tough schedule out the gates. I think
they're getting hyped though, right?
Well, kind of.
I mean, someone's got to be second, right?
You're right. Well, that's Minnesota. NFC North. And I think Stafford's getting some.
You think Minnesota's defense is good enough to keep them, you know, at a 9-win level?
No, but I think some people will think that is. I really think the Packers are probably the second team to the Packers has 7 or 8 wins.
Oh man.
And I think Detroit's a 6-10 team, if not a 5-11 team. And I think the Bears are probably 6-10, 5-11 as well. I don't think the Bears are as bad as people think they might be. I think their defense is kind of okay. But Mike Glennon stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to let Mitchell Trubisky get out there and show something. But
how long do you think until that gets too loud and they have to start him?
Probably 8 weeks. But I don't know. John Fox is an old red ass. He might keep Mike Glennon until week 12. He's like Jeff Fisher.
He could also be showing the fucking door in week six.
That's also possible. So
if they go, you know, 1-4, 1-5.
We'll see. But I really, if you tell me, is there one team that you really think could have a year from hell, I think it would be the Detroit Lions. Their first 7 games are absolutely abominable. And their defense looked like absolute trash in preseason. And once again, I know it's just preseason. We say that, we'll probably say that a lot, but there's some concern.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFC South, which you mentioned, the Buccaneers, very unpredictable. Buccaneers, would you say, are the sexiest team in the league? Like that?
They're up there. I think the hard knocks factor is helps.
A lot of hard knocks love. Well, humanizing Jameis as much as HBO could. You know, I Jameis is a fine dude, but we all know that Jameis has some skeletons. So, anyways.
He's also good for a weird interview.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of good
quotes.
He sounds
awesome, but what he's saying makes no sense.
That's fairly, very accurate. So,
he sounds like he's rehearsed. Like, he sounds like Ryan Braun, where it's just everything is almost scripted.
Yeah,
but it makes absolutely no sense.
No, at all.
Too many, you know, God references and that just don't even
and I mean, so they we'll see what happens with them. You know, they have a potent offense. They had TJ Ward on that defense just this week, and they have a decent defense with
Ward.
Jared
I hope
McCoy.
The Buccaneers are good. That'd be great.
I don't know, it's been a while.
I
don't know if Dirk Cutter's a legit NFL coach. That's my big thing about that team. I don't know if their coach is good.
Yeah, they
enough.
Haven't had a good coach since Gruden.
Right.
Pretty much.
And Atlanta, you have the whole Super Bowl hangover, and I know people are like, well, they could be like the Warriors and everything like this, and like the Warriors bounce back. Here's the thing. The NFL is entirely different than the NBA, so let's shut that up right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more things to happen right to get to 19 games and get back to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't really either. You know.
And we'll talk about Packers-Falcons next week, and we'll see how they do against the Bears this week. But couldn't you just see like the Packers like beating their ass by like 35-10 or something dumb? Just like a classic Atlanta sports moment where they just completely shit the bed on the first big show and everything like that.
I totally could.
And I could
there'll be about 5 college football games in before they open that up for an NFL game.
Exactly. But that thing's gonna work.
Yep.
So Carolina is unpredictable because Luke Kuechly, if Luke Kuechly stays healthy, probably a pretty good team. And Cam Newton. Could Christian McCaffrey be a real factor and maybe probably be the rookie of the year?
I mean, Josh Norman leaving them last year killed them.
Yeah, and they never recovered and they never figured out how
I think they
to.
Went with like 2 rookie corners.
Yeah, and their secondary was pretty bad. And so we'll see We'll see what Carolina. New Orleans, I think, is frisky. I kind of like New Orleans. I don't know why, but I think
under the radar,
their defense is decent enough. I feel like Sean
people
Payton,
riding off Drew Brees.
Yeah, and people are thinking Sean Payton's pretty much done after this year, and he's an empty suit. I don't know.
He's gonna go coach the Cowboys.
I don't know. We could. Nah, I don't think. I don't think is Garrett's gonna get fired. He's probably there for a while.
That was hot for about a year there.
Cowboy fans off.
I feel like at this time last year we were talking about that probably. Like Sean Payton was, he's probably going to go to the Cowboys if things don't go well for them this year.
Probably. And we can go into the AFC. So America's team, Cowboys, they're on prime time pretty much every week these days. You know, if the Zeke thing goes down, I don't know if it's as big of a loss as people might make it out to be just because that offensive line is so good. Mm-hmm. And if Darren McFadden stays healthy, key sentence. They're okay. And I think they'd be all right. I think that, like every year, that NFC East is going to be a dogfight.
Do you think Dak Prescott could be a better quarterback than I think he is? I mean, he's kind of a Russell Wilson when he was a rookie.
That's a hell of a comparison.
Where he's just like not necessarily, he doesn't look anything special, and he's helped out a lot by, you know, other factors of the team. Obviously, when Wilson was a rookie, they had an unreal defense. And whereas Dallas has a decent defense,
line. He kind of has that Russell Wilson, Big Ben, in the fact that they always seem to find a way to win, even when they were rookies and first year guys, where they found a way to win and you didn't know how, but they somehow ended up winning that football game and they just do enough. I think the team to beat in that division is the New York Giants. Give me the Giants stock. I know Eli Manning.
Their defense is good, though.
Their defense is good, really good. They had Brandon Marshall with Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham. I'm still a little unsure about the running backs and the offensive line. Maybe I'm talking myself out of this. I was kind of on the Giants.
I could see that being close, though.
I actually think the Giants win the division. They have an easier schedule. They take the division. Cowboys get the wild card. Eagles are going to be good. I think the Redskins will be fine.
I think Eagles are the cliche year away.
And Mike Lombardi of The Ringer made a comment that Doug Peterson is one of the most unfit coaches for the National Football League in the history. He thinks he is just absolutely trash.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. I'd rather, out of the young quarterbacks in that, let's just go MFK, but with long-term success of Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, and Carson Wentz.
I would say Carson Wentz probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm
long-term success.
We're going to do this in gift form again. I'm giving you the blinking eyes because I'd probably go Cousins.
Really?
Yeah.
Cousins Prescott is 30 years old though.
Yeah. Is he that old?
He might, I guess he might be he's like 28. Our age.
He's getting his payday right now.
I got to look it up. But so I think Carson Wentz has some intangibles and is, is a good body. And plus, he's got Alshon Jeffrey now, who's got to stay healthy, obviously. Right. That's a key sentence as well, to take your phrase there. But you add LeGarrette Blount, who's a more than serviceable running back. Seems like they have some weapons. Their offensive line's pretty good.
Right. Okay. That's fine. I mean, I don't know.
And long term, who knows, but I'm just saying.
I'm not in on the Eagles. You can't.
I could see him winning nine this year.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So
we'll see.
But you said long-term success.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine. So who'd you kill in that group, Cousins?
Or Dak? Probably Cousins. Kill probably Dak.
Okay.
Just because he's replaceable, I think.
So then we'll go to the AFC real quick. And
Cousins, 29, just turned 29.
Okay, so a little old. AFC, your boys, the Oakland Raiders, a lot of buzz around the Raiders. Do you buy into
it? Power ranking with them sixth.
Do you buy into it? Do you think?
I mean, Derek Carr is a good quarterback.
Okay. I think that's very astute. I think Amari Cooper could have a huge year. Young guy, kind of third year in the league. Yeah. Sometimes we see those receivers.
Well, and Amari Cooper came in ready to play in the NFL. It wasn't like.
No, that's legit.
There was no learning curve, and they got Jared Cook now.
Yeah, we'll see.
For who's an above average tight end, which they haven't had.
I can't decide whether Marshawn's going to be beneficial or he's going to be just absolutely horrible.
I think it's a great story.
Yes.
He's an Oakland native, loves Oakland, but he hasn't played in the NFL. I think people forget he retired and didn't play last year.
So
that's therein lies the unpredictability.
So there's two things I got going here about that. number one, yes. Number two, that offensive line's like Dallas good.
Yes, it is.
That offensive line is so good.
Now, Donald Penn decided to hold out for some reason until like a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
That's not good with fat boys. You can't have fat boys holding out.
Right.
That's like
I don't know why.
That's like if Murph was a GM, and if he does, heaven help us, because that would just be the worst thing. Because he would just he'd be in the group chat being like, "So should I trade this guy today? Oh, what do you think? Like,
not great, Bob."
And just text us like 7 or 8 times before getting an answer, or telling him to go to fuck to bed, Murph. but I would tell.
I don't care about your third string guard.
My advice as his probable lackey at the organization would be, listen, do not let your fat boys hold out.
Yeah.
Because what fat boys do when they hold out? They just eat.
Mm-hmm.
As a you know, fattish boy now, not as fat, but fattish. If I'm just doing nothing and I'm not working, I'm gonna eat.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna have a good time. So yeah.
I'm sure he was working out.
I mean, yeah, I'm not slandering Donnie Penn's name, but let me tell you, Donnie's probably had a few extra burgers.
But when your interior line, your guard, and your two guards in your center are, you know, you might have the best guard in that. What's his name? Osemele.
I'm letting you do it. I ain't touching that shit.
Rodney Hudson is your center.
One
of the four captains.
They had a good.
And Gabe Jackson's a great guard too. I worry about the right tackle position.
So
they haven't been able to solidify that one a little so much. But
so a somewhat spicy take would be like, you know, what's to say DeAndre Washington couldn't come in and just start running things?
True.
I was a big DeAndre Washington guy last year in fantasy. Didn't work out.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he didn't do the splash that I think you and I both thought he would.
But would not be surprised.
Another year later,
I'd get back on that wagon. Also in that division, a lot of questions if the Chiefs are going to be good. I just always lean on like Andy Reid.
Well, they let Jeremy Maclin walk.
Yeah, Andy Reid just finds a way. And the question is though, is if Andy Reid's going to be a red ass about Alex Smith, or is he going to let Pat Mahomes cook? Because, like, from some of the stuff you saw in preseason, Pat Mahomes was... Yeah,
a lot of people were on him.
The real concern with Kansas City, though, is they play a really difficult schedule. And so exposing Mahomes to just an absolutely brutal schedule, is that really going to make sense for the Chiefs?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's going to be a wait and see with him, too. I'd give Alex Smith half the season.
Totally. I like the Chargers a lot. I think the Chargers have a pretty solid both sides of the ball.
San Diego, Superchargers.
I think Joey Bosa is a beast if he stays on the field, and they have a pretty decent secondary, because we have to get reminded that Casey Hayward walked as a Packer, even though it made the most sense in the world, but people just can't seem to forget that one.
It's like a Scooter Jeanette scenario.
Yeah,
where
it's, yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, when you know the position, you let him, you know, you let the guy walk in the position that he fulfilled. Struggles, then yes.
That's a great point. You're all over it. So then finishing off with Denver, not really that excited about Denver. They might have the shittiest three quarterbacks in football if there weren't the New York Jets with Osweiler.
No.
Yeah, he signed back with the Broncos.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah? I did not know
bam,
that.
Bam, 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 bam.
It's Osweiler.
Well, either way, it's...
It's Simeon. It's
yeah.
Paxton Lynch. Yeah, gross. So there's that. I know we got to kind of run, and we always do this. We talk about a lot about the NFC, and then we just short side the AFC.
Right.
But I like Pittsburgh a lot. Baltimore is way too many injuries probably right now, and like I don't know. I think they have a lot of talent. I just don't know if they're going to be all healthy.
If they had an elite quarterback, they'd probably be a little better off.
I feel okay. Glad you brought that up, because I was wondering this the other day. Have the elite jokes jumped the shark?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, I loved it when PFT did it. I still love when the Flacco meter comes out on Sundays, because it cracks me up. But it's a little it's funny when PFT does it, and it's not funny when everyone else does it. And they're just looking for retweets, because they'll tag like PFT Combinator in it. It's just like when the Bucks were pandering to him yesterday, I think, about Deli's rating.
Yep.
And then he's like, he made a comment about they're like, does this rating measure grit? And he's like, you can't measure grit. Once you start measuring grit, the robots have won. That's why PFT is king stay king. So the Browns, I'm excited for DeShone Kizer. I think DeShone Kizer pulls a couple games out of his ass this year, and there'll be a couple like, whoa, he's actually pretty good. Myles Garrett's kind of a freak. I think the Browns have kind of...
The Browns are heading in the right direction.
Slowly have their shit together. The Bengals do not. I think that's another team, and I don't know why.
One thing that had me laughing about the Browns was they traded some offensive linemen, like, last week.
Yeah.
A week ago today, I think it was. Some offensive linemen, and they got, like, a fifth-round pick for them.
Uh-huh.
And all the mentions on the team's tweet were just, like, you know, every fan, every Browns fan was going nuts in happiness, saying, like, I don't know how we got a fifth-round pick for this guy. And there was a little video or a GIF or something of him getting driven back and knocked on his ass by a guy. So, like, it was, and a bunch of replies were like, wow, we're making good moves, like, consecutively here. This is, like, so, I mean, that just made me kind of summarize what the Browns fans, this is, they're just not used to.
Are the Browns the Sixers of the NBA?
No.
With the trust the process.
They're not that bad. Nothing's at that level.
I'm not saying they're that bad. I'm just saying, are they their fan base? Because that sounds a lot like the Sixer fan base.
A little
base.
Bit, yeah. I mean, and I guess kind of, but light, definitely.
Okay.
So I mean, the Sixer fans are completely insufferable.
Yeah, they are. And we'll have a lot of words for the Sixers fans. For sure. That's a promise. That's not just a wonder. That's a promise. So strap in, Sixers.
If you're hearing the Sixer fan, please at me.
Yeah, exactly. Get in my mentions.
Please step into my office.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the Bengals, I don't like at all. I like AJ Green, but man, they don't have an offensive line.
Motherfucking Marvin Lewis, too.
Marvin Lewis keeps cashing them checks. Lewis would have been fired with any other organization.
God, you know, you talk about bad owners. I mean,
oh, yeah. The worst.
So, I mean, that family is, it's
terrible.
I don't know. We've beat that horse before.
NFC East, it's pretty much the New England Patriots. Do you think the Patriots go undefeated? I don't.
No.
Nah, not at all. I don't think it's even close. I think they'll probably lose 3 or 4 games. So
we'll probably go 8-8 because I took Tom Brady in one of my fantasy leagues for the first time, probably ever.
Not gonna happen.
Not to be that guy.
AFC South.
That's my brand though.
AFC South. I like a lot of
Tennessee.
Tennessee's
about as sexy as Tampa Bay is.
Great point. So. And I think either Tennessee or Tampa is your 8-8 team. I think that one of those team guys are going 8-8.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Tennessee can't shake the 8-8
right.
Stigma.
Yeah. has the Houston 8-8 transferred over to their former Houston residents.
Yeah. Well, just the Jeff Fisher stench either
right.
from Tennessee.
Okay. Also, real question about Houston. So if the Jags Houston line was right, it's about a 5-point spread. Do you bet on Tom Savage in a hurricane in the hurricane first game back in Houston? Game with Blake Bortles at quarterback.
Man.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think you have to. I think it's a hurricane game. I think you bet on the natural. You just bet on the response from the natural disaster. This is a dumb way to bet. This is how you lose a lot of money.
That's betting with your heart.
That's betting with your heart, but it's also betting with your mind. This is that right there is a Barstool Big Cap bet, because I know he'll talk about Houston tomorrow on Friday.
Yeah.
About Pitts that he likes, because that's just... That's how it goes.
Is Larry around still?
Larry's come back. Larry 3.
Larry 3.
Because Larry 2 died.
Larry Drew the 3rd.
I love those videos. Part of my take, I mean, you guys fucking know, but that's all.
That's what Chuck lives for.
No, not really. How bad are the Colts going to be? Like, super bad or kind of like, okay?
Well, what changed from last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew Luck's hurt. I don't know what the deal is with him.
No.
How long is he hurt for?
They don't know. A lot of people are staying, like, secretive. So
nobody's touching the Colts this year.
No,
I assume.
One's touching the Colts.
God, we were like what, a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, putting them in the Super Bowl.
Ryan Griggs, talk about a guy who completely just took a dump in the middle of the field and just shit all over a fan base. Ryan Grigson, step on up.
The GM, right?
Oh yeah.
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 Trash defense, no offensive line. You traded another receiver.
Oh yeah, because they needed Jacoby Brissett. Grigson's gone though. I think they fired him. Didn't they? Maybe not.
I have no clue.
Who the hell knows?
Not going to lie.
So, are you playing us off here?
I'm going to. You can mention a little bit of college football if you want while we...
Hell of a Saturday night. Don't even go out.
Chuck is 6 to midnight here.
Not really, but it's just... I like good college football. You get number 13 Auburn versus number 3 Clemson. Tigers are a 4.5-point favorite. Georgia, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 4.5-point favorite. That's 15 versus 24. Number 2, Ohio State versus number 5, Oklahoma. Ohio State's 7-point favorite there. USC, Stanford, 6-14. USC, 6.5-point favorite. And then your Snow Tap Bar Watch, or I've already drank 6 IPAs of the night. Washington State, Boise. The Cougs are a 10-point favorite there. So a lot there. Maybe get the Bovada account running. We'll see. But we'll be back next week. We'll be talking a lot.
So you can bet on UCLA and watch them go down by 34 and then come all the way back.
We really should have saved some time to talk about that. But we will talk a little bit about college football with the Badgers heading to dangerous Provo, Utah next Saturday, as well as the Packers opening up yet another stadium in Atlanta. And who knows what.
And Overreaction Monday.
And yeah, Overreaction Monday. Oh, fuck. I love Overreaction Monday. You know that.
It's like Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That is Pinhead season.
Yep.
So I'm sure that the Pinhead Report will return. So as will we. So for Mitch Ross.
As how Dom Capers has not gotten fired.
What's wrong with McCarthy's offense? Yep.
Well, I predicted it, so.
Yeah. Well, guys, I saw it. We're going 7-9. Anyways, for Mitch, I'm Charlie. We got to get the hell out of here. Take care, Tappers.
Peace.